Well, we've been talking about embracing faith, love, and hope as a part of our life. And we don't want to let any one single part of our life get out of balance. Everything needs to be there because, in a sense, faith, love, and hope all feed off of each other. And I think someone has well said that faith yields work, love drives our labor, and it's hope that sustains everything that we do. I'm amazed at the Apostle Paul. He said, even if I give my body to be burned, if I don't have love, then I'm just a sounding brass. And I see in him an ability to endure such evil that was brought against him on so many different occasions. And through it all, the apostle was able to endure. So let's go back to the place where we begin in 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, and we're going to start reading in verse 3, and we'll read down through the end. He says, "We remember before our God and our Father your work produced by faith, your labor that is prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message of in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit." So let's think about hope as we conclude this discussion. Hope is what sustains us. Christians look forward to something very special. Christians can look forward to a time when Jesus comes and we get to see him face to face as he really is, not viewing him as the beaten, crucified man. But we get to view him as he really is. When Jesus came here, even before he was beaten and crucified, and he must have been a bloody mess, he walked among us, and we got to see him. We got to experience what it was like to be around Jesus, not us personally, but men. Got to see what it was like to be around Jesus. But you know, even when they got to see him like that, that wasn't what Jesus really was. There's only one time that Jesus showed people what he really was, and it's on the Mount of Transfiguration. I try to think about the way that Jesus was when he was here, and it's as if Jesus had to turn his wick down because he was so bright he is so bright that we couldn't stand to be around him almost. But on the Mount of Transfiguration, with the three apostles, Jesus, for just a moment, let his wick get turned all the way up. And it was an amazing thing. Peter was so taken aback by it that he said, "Let's build three temples Moses, we can worship you. Jesus, we can worship you. And a voice comes from heaven and says, no, listen to my son. But we get to look forward to Jesus' return, and we'll be able to see him as he really is. Look at 1 John, the third chapter, beginning at verse 2. Dear friends, now we are the children of God. He still hasn't let us know what we will be. But know that when Christ appears, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he really is. He's pure, and all who hope to be like him make themselves pure. This hope causes us to endure. It gives us the strength that it takes to let the world around us go to hell in a handbasket without being affected by it. Look at what he said in 1 Peter, the first chapter, at verse 8. Even though now you've not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him. You're filled with a glorious joy that can't be put into words. I have not seen Jesus. I wasn't alive in the first century, didn't company with the apostles, and they got to be around him. What a great thing that must have been. I still believe. I still have hope. And it's that hope that gives me a grand joy. Not that I become so good, but my hope is in Jesus. Revelation, the first chapter, at verse 7, John says, look, he's coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him. Even those who pierced him will see him. All the nations of the earth will be sad because of him. This will really happen. Amen. As great as it will be for me to be able to see Jesus coming back because I've put him on, it will be just that sad for people to see Jesus coming back who have rejected him. They'll see him as he really is, not the one that they could beat. But they'll understand that he is the king. Christians know that they can live with him forever. Depends not on us, but God made a promise that he would forgive sin, not because I'm so great, but because Jesus is. Look at 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verse 7. God didn't give us a spirit that makes us weak and fearful. He gave us a spirit that gives us power and love. It helps us control ourselves. So don't be ashamed to give witness about our Lord. Don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. Instead, join with me as I suffer for the good news. God's power will help you do that. God has saved us. He's chosen us to live a holy life. It wasn't because of anything we had done. It's because of his purpose and grace. Through Christ Jesus, God gave us that grace even before time began. Salvation is in Christ. There is our hope. The hope that sustains us is not the hope that we sometimes think about when we have reference to ourselves. I hope that I can do a good job. That puts the onus on me. That puts the responsibility on me. But if I know that Jesus did the job that needed to be done, then I can have a strong hope that will not make me ashamed. The Thessalonians remained faithful to God despite pressure to change their beliefs and life. They knew that God guaranteed his promises. And I have to say, we live in an awful time. We live in a time when the most beautiful things about God are co-opted by people in the service of some ungodly goal. I wish that it wasn't that way. But we can live in that time like the Thessalonians did. In Hebrews, the 6th chapter, beginning at verse 16 and reading down through verse 18, the writer gives us two assurances. Well, let's just read it. He says, people take oaths by someone greater than themselves. Right. We're all familiar with that. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth? To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And they used to have you put your hand on the Bible when you said that, and you were testifying in court, because it was a recognition that there's something greater than yourself. People take oaths by someone greater than themselves. An oath makes a promise certain. It puts an end to all arguing. So God took an oath when he made his promise. He wanted to make it very clear that his purpose does not change. He wanted those who would receive what was promised to know that. God took an oath so that we would have good reason not to give up. We have run away from everything else to take hold of the hope offered to us in God's promise. So God gave his promise and an oath. Those two things can't change. He couldn't lie about them. We can live above the world. We'll have to live in it, but we don't have to be impacted by it. They rested in what we sang about this morning. I know that my Savior lives and ever prays for me. Do you ever think about the meaning behind that song? They knew that Jesus had gone to heaven, that he was there with God pleading their case. Look at Hebrews, the 7th chapter, at verse 24 beginning. Jesus lives forever. The Romans thought they could kill him. The Jews thought they could kill him. And they beat him. They put him on a cross. They watched him die. Satan thought he could prevent him from doing the work that he wanted to do. And Jesus burst forth from the tomb. He went back to heaven. And now he prays for us. He always holds the office of priest. You remember what priests did for people in the Old Testament? They were a mediator. They went between God and man. Think about what happened when they went to the Mount Horeb, to Mount Sinai, or at Mount Horeb. God was on the mountain. The people knew that. The mountain shook. It thundered. There was lightning. The people said, "Moses, go up on the mountain and talk to God for us." And Moses did. That's what Jesus does for us. He speaks for us in heaven. People can now come to God through him. He's able to save them completely and for all time. Jesus lives forever. He prays for them. Jesus didn't come out of the grave just to go back to heaven and sit down on his throne and hold his scepter. Jesus went back to heaven to be our mediator. A place that he holds forever. No one can stop him from doing the work that he wants to do. What a grand thing that is. If you want to put on Jesus in baptism, we'll help you to do that. Be one of his. Take advantage of this great blessing. If you need to ask for God to forgive, ask. We'll pray with you, but more importantly, so will Jesus.